In terms of possible additional spread tightening, I would say, yes, it is possible. But again, we're kind of at the lows of where we've been the last year and a half to 2 years or so.
Welcome to Views from the Desk, a special edition of the BMO ETFs podcast. In these timely episodes, we provide the latest investment news and expert commentary on the markets, the economy, and investing. Brought to you by BMO Global Asset Management.
It's reporting season once again for the big six Canadian banks. In today's episode, portfolio managers Chris McCaney, Charles Missy, and your host Mackenzie Box break down the earnings hits and misses. They also discuss technology's reign and outlook in the high yield space and when to add duration. Before we hear from the team, please consider subscribing to Views from the Desk on your preferred podcast platform. And for many more ETF insights and resources, visit BMOETFs.com. That's BMOETFS.com.
Hello and welcome back to our BMO ETFs Weekly Insights podcast with our team of experts. Thank you to everyone for continuing to tune in and to provide comments and questions each and every week. I'm today's host, Mackenzie Box, in product at BMO Global Asset Management. Today, I am joined by Chris McCaney and Charles Missy from our ETF Portfolio Manager desk. So thank you to Charles and Chris for both joining me today. All right, guys. Well, let's dive in. Chris, we'll start with you. Canadian banks are starting to report their fourth quarter earnings. What are your thoughts on what to expect? And what does this mean for the outlook for our BMO Equal Weight Banks Index ETF, ticker ZEB?
Yeah, as we record this on Thursday, we've had most of the major banks report their earnings so far. Let's call it a bit of a mixed bag. Scotiabank started the reporting season with what most people consider a pretty negative quarter there. A lot of it had to do with the provisions for loan losses. So these are not loans that have gone bad, but the bank allocating aside some money in anticipation that some of these may go bad. And that was really, with that, higher expenses and weak trading revenue was a pretty down quarter for Scotiabank, and it sold off after that news. Earlier this morning, we had a few of the other banks report, and it was certainly overall, I would say, better than what we saw from Scotiabank. We had CIBC come out. That was generally a positive result from them and actually did not set aside additional provisions for loan losses, which was a good signal from them, as I think a lot of people on the street thought CIBC might be the bank that might be most exposed to non-performing loans. And so seeing that not really tick up was taken as a positive. And they did slightly raise their dividend as well. RBC also announced their earnings, and that came in pretty positive. Also, TD has also released, and they were slightly negative. So overall, you know, pretty much a bit of a mixed bag from the Canadian banks, but not anything that's overarching across all banks, and that would be of a major concern. And so, you know, as we look forward, we're continuing to see a general slowdown in economic activity in Canada. Overall, that does tend to weigh on the banks overall. And so in terms of upside from here, you know, it's hard to see a huge amount of significant upside. You know, certainly for investors that do think there's going to be a rebound in Canadian banks, ZEB, as you mentioned, Mackenzie, continues to be the best way to play a strong rebound in Canadian banks. And you're getting a over 5% distribution yield as well, which is pretty tax effective, as that's the dividends coming from the banks. And so you're getting a nice dividend to kind of wait for that rally to happen. And again, you know, for investors that think that rally is going to happen, ZEB is the best way to play that. For other investors that want to be exposed to the banks but don't see a huge catalyst either from here, one idea that's looking like a pretty good strategy into year end here is the BMO Canadian Banks Accelerator ETF. Ticker is ZEBA there. And that gives you two times the price return of ZEB up to a cap. Now, this cap resets at the end of December. So we're kind of heading into the last month of the outcome period for the Accelerator ETF. And there's essentially 6+% upside that investors can realize based on the performance of ZEB. So if ZEB goes up somewhere in the range of 1% to 3% over the next month, the investor in ZEBA essentially gets double that return. And then you're kind of capped out at around that 6.5% is approximately where the cap is at today. So for investors that, you know, want to be exposed to the banks but don't see that huge upside, you know, that's probably a nice way to play it over the next month. And of course, for income-oriented investors, we continue to have ZWB that, you know, similar to the accelerator, trades away some of that upside potential, but ZWB pays that out in income. So for income-oriented investors, we see ZWB continuing to be a strong way to play the banks. And again, for those that don't necessarily need the income, the ZEBA accelerator sets up pretty well into your end.
Great. Thanks, Chris.
Does market volatility have you wondering where to go to ride out the storm? Not all cash equivalents are created equal, and BMO's money market and ultra short-term bond ETFs offer several high-quality options to park client cash. To learn more, visit BMOETFs.com and search for tickers ZUCM, ZMMK, ZST, and ZUS.
Charles, we'll move on to you. Technology stocks have provided most of the market returns this year, especially if we think of the Magnificent Seven stocks. BMO's covered call technology ETF, ticker ZWT, has done really well. What do you think of this sector going into 2024? Or should investors take some profits at this point?
Thank you, Mackenzie, for the question. It's a good one. Essentially, when you see how the broader market have performed year to date, I think the S&P is up 18%, NASDAQ 36%. The reality is when you look under the hood, the breadth of the market is actually very narrow. There is a concentration of return. Most of the market performance have been indeed driven by the handful of tech stock, the so-called Magnificent Seven you mentioned. It's right for investors to be asking the question whether the tech are going to continue performing the market going into next year, or should people remain invested in them, or should take profit. The short answer to your question is we think that tech are likely to continue leading the market into 2024, and that investors should remain definitely invested in tech, even if the path going forward might not be as linear given the market condition. Now, what do we think so? Let me remind people that one of the reasons the tech have been in the market leader position over the last, call it 2 to 3 years to begin with, is because collectively at the market, we've recognized that entering a secular period of new innovation that had focused on automation, cloud computing, and digitalization, you know, whatnot. When you look at the development business cycle of those innovation, a lot of them are still in their infancy, in their early stage. You know, and when you think about AI technology, they are not fully adopted by everyone yet, right? People debating about the ethics, about the regulation, right? And the infrastructure for cloud data storage and computing are still being built. The automation in many industries are just starting. So these IT companies have yet to fully monetize the benefit of their innovation. And we see these as long-term trends that represent a tailwind for IT company into next year and beyond. And in particular, the race for the chip technology that the US and China are engaged into is fuel to us, at least it's fuel for growth in the IT going into 2024. And the Chip and Innovation Act that the Biden administration passed last year provide the needed ecosystem for continued growth. So that's, and we think that that's going to play out pretty well for the IT. On the demand side, the consumer demand for technology products is stronger than ever. And we see no sign of this slowing down, right? To a point where we think that, you know, these products are turning into staple for our daily life. When you think about it, you know, you, me, ourselves, we all want the new iPhone, the new gadget. And the corporate side, the demand is still also very healthy. Everyone have to market into the cloud system and so forth. So those are creating the condition for the IT company to be generating steady cash flow as those products become commodities and a staple for masses. And whatever another reason I'm going to give for investors to remain invested in tech is because these are very high quality companies, right? They have a pricing power into their respective industry. You know, they innovate it, and mostly they have a very strong balance sheet and a massive amount of cash they've amassed over time. That would probably, should the market go down, that would allow them to weather tightening lending condition and without going into the market. And usually what happened is it's in better shape into any recession, should we have one, and you don't have to go to the market, you come out on the other side as a leader, you emerge strongly. So those are, to us, the condition that we think that make the IT a tech sector to be the leader into next year and to keep performing very well. Now, higher rate environment is a challenge for growth for most growth company, right? In terms of the valuation, because their future cash flow get discounted at a higher rate, and higher rates in general introduce volatility to the market, then that might be headwinds, and you might not see that linear growth that we've seen, you know, over the next last couple of years. So we are recommending for our client, given, you know, the volatility of the market, to stay invested in the market and to do so via our BMO cover call technology ETF. The ticker is ZWT, which offer you exposure to the largest IT name in the sector, but doing so, taking advantage of the heightened volatility in the market to extract additional option premium add value to investor. And to give you a sense of, you know, how ZWT have done well, year to date, ZWT is up 60% versus the Nasdaq, which is up 38%. A significant outperformance just due to the fact that the way we build our portfolio, and we think that going into next year, IT going to continue to outperform. So ZWT have done a great job for investors, and we think that investors should consider that going into next year.
Great. Thanks, Charles. Chris, moving on. Can you comment on the high yield space? Our ticker ZHY, BMO High Yield US Corporate Bond Hedge to CAD Index ETF, is showing a robust yield to maturity of close to 9% and has been positive all year. So maybe you can just give some comments around that.
Yeah, sure, Mackenzie. And yeah, high yield, I think, has had a very nice year, as we've seen in certain pockets of fixed income, particularly in the last couple of months, with the movement in yields that we've seen. Of course, you know, this is coming off of 2022 that was pretty challenging for high yield and for fixed income overall. But, you know, as you say, it has been a positive year for high yield. And in particular, again, just in November, we've seen a fairly strong move both in yield, so the duration component of that high yield, you know, adding approximately 4%, call it, in terms of how treasuries have rallied in November just on the back of lower yields. But then also the credit spread component of high yield has come in about 120 basis points just in the month of November, which is a very, very significant move in a 1 month period. So that's kind of what's led to the strong performance that we've seen so far this year. Now, in terms of valuation and where that stands, you know, again, those credit spreads moving in very significantly in November, we're now at about the lowest in terms of high yield credit spreads since March of 2023. So since this higher interest rate regime that we've been in that really did get kickstarted March 2022, so kind of a year and a half, almost 2 years, in terms of when we've started to move into this higher interest rate environment that we find ourselves in. So we're kind of at the lowest point now in terms of credit spreads since this new economic environment. So in terms of valuation, I would not say high yield is particularly cheap right now. As you say, it does offer a nice yield pickup with a yield to maturity of around 8.7 right now. So very close to that 9% number. Now, traditionally, high yield, as you go into a slowing environment, you could have a little bit of risk there in terms of that credit spread widening back out. Of course, in a slowdown or in a recession environment, high yield would be the first sort of risk in the fixed income space in terms of not making coupons or bankruptcies, et cetera. Now, this portfolio is very, very well diversified. You have hundreds of issues in there. So the exposure to any one issue going bankrupt or not paying is relatively low because of that diversification component. I think for investors that want to have that pickup, that little bit of pickup on their yield, that have a more of a long-term focus, or at least are willing to accept a little bit of short-term volatility should that come to play, the high yield space is a very good idea for that. We've also seen high yield spreads generally trade very close to the VIX index, which is equity market volatility or expected equity market volatility. We've seen the VIX index actually sell off even more than those credit spreads. So there could be a case made that if the equity market is right, there is more spread compression coming for high yield, or that might just mean that the fixed income market has it right and equity volatility will rise back up to that level. But there is a bit of a disconnect there. So, you know, in terms of possible additional spread tightening, I would say, yes, it is possible. But again, we're kind of at the lows of where we've been the last year and a half to 2 years or so. And typically, you wouldn't see the spreads go below 300 basis points anyway. So if we're at around 400 now, you know, even in the best of times, it's only going to go another 100 basis points. So I would not buy high yield in anticipation of spreads tightening. But, you know, again, that yield component for the actual income that they are delivering looks fairly attractive. Again, a bit of a duration component there. It's about 3.5 years, and that has helped, again, here in the month of November, at least. But for investors that maybe don't want that duration risk, that maybe think yields are going back up from where they are here and we're not done with the higher interest rates, we do have another solution. The BMO Floating Rate High Yield ETF, ticker ZFH, essentially gives investors exposure to that high yield credit spread, but strips out the duration component. So it's invested in short-term T-bills. So the actual duration is about a 0.2. You know, you're less than half a year, certainly. So very, very little duration, but you're still getting about that 8.8% yield. So very similar overall yield to maturity than what ZHY offers. For investors that, you know, are looking at the interest rate environment, thinking rates could continue to go up from here or back up from here, maybe take a look at the ZFH that, again, gives you that same exposure to high yield credit spreads, gives you that nice yield, but strips out that duration component. And for investors that just want that traditional fixed income investment, are happy taking on a little bit of that duration, ZHY, we think, makes sense, again, as long as you're willing to ride out some potential short-term volatility over the next, call it 6 to 12 months.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Some great options there.
Want to reduce the risk of market timing or increase near-term growth? Our new range of BMO structured outcome ETFs can help you dial down risk or dial up equity returns. To learn more, visit BMOETFs.com and search for tickers ZOCT, ZUEA, and ZEBA.
Charles, the market consensus seems to be that the Bank of Canada will cut rates next year. So for fixed income, the call has been to extend duration. But under a scenario where the Bank of Canada keeps rates where they are now, which is the higher for longer, how should investors think about their portfolio positioning?
The question about the current positioning has been a game of seesaw as of late. What we've seen in terms of flow that last June or July, also, when there were chatter of and talks of rate having peaked, a lot of investors went into a market and added duration to their portfolio just to see rate move higher in October. So the investor who added duration too early got hurt. Rates have since come down 50 bips right now. And we've seen the same movement again, and a flow seem to be indicating that investors are start adding duration again. This is not a surprise, given that the market is pricing in that central bank are done with raising rates. If you go look at in Bloomberg, that's what Bloomberg is saying. The bank's next move going to be starting cutting rate by next March. Now, that's where we disagree with the market consensus, because we think that the bank have spent a lot of energy and have earned some credibility fighting inflation over the last 18 months. We think that they are unlikely to throw all those effort to waste and start easing too soon or too fast, or people won't expect it. The risk seeing all the effort they've done so far reverse. Right? Our thought process and conviction is that central bank indeed are going to stay higher for longer, and they may stay higher for longer to the end of 2024. One indicator that give us some pause with respect to rate cut early next year is, you know, and in the US, they do it better than Canada, is the recent University of Michigan survey where most investors saw inflation remain anchored around 4% level through year end. And the same sentiment prevailing here at home in Canada. And we know that central bank, the Fed, the Bank of Canada, take the consumer survey indicator very seriously into their rate decision process, because they don't want inflation expectation to be anchored too high at the 4% level. So we think that, you know, as such, they are likely to remain hawkish or, you know, higher for longer till they see a very tangible sign that inflation is converging toward their 2% target level. Given those views, the views we have on the decks, what we are recommending to investors is to be nimble and not rush into adding duration, even if the flow seems to suggest that people are adding duration, because we think at this point here, all the benefits you might have for the recent retracement in rates are already fully captured in. So investors should rather be, call it tactical in terms of, and a very slow if they really want to add duration to the portfolio, right? So picking the level where they wanna get in to add duration, you know, until you see some form of stability into the front end of a curve, and the risk of rate reversing higher has really subsidized. Our preferred investment solution in the current, you know, and given the current environment, given the assumption and the view we have, the DEX on the desk, is to for investors to look at BMO Ultra Short-Term Bond ETF, ticker ZST, because the fund invests in very high-quality short-term securities, mostly you're taking on a bank bond exposure with little duration and, you know, maturity under 1 year, and you have very little credit into the fund. And currently, the fund is paying a very stable 5.6% yield. And we think that for investors, you want to add a little bit of a yield into their portfolio. ZSC is a very, very you know, topical, a very, very appropriate investment vehicle to invest into, while with little volatility, right? I have to mention that. While waiting for a little bit of clarity, outlook of rate into next year. At that point, you know, if really rate seem to be coming down, investor can always elect to add duration to their portfolio, and if the market become constructive. But at this point here, we think that ZST is a very decent vehicle to invest into, that give you that decent yield into your portfolio. You don't have any sensitivity to the market, to the rate going into end of the year, and give you the latitude and flexibility to see how all this plays out. And next year, you can always, you know, exit the position and add duration. Easy solution for us going into end of year and to be cautious and prudent.
Great. Thanks, Charles. Some great insight there. Those are all the questions that we have this week. So I want to thank everyone for listening in, and a special thank you to both Charles and Chris for providing some great market outlook and insight. And with that, I just want to thank everyone again. We'll see you next week.
Thank you to Mackenzie Box, Chris McHaney, and Charles Missy for joining us on the BMO ETFs podcast. Today, we heard about the BMO Equal Weight Banks Index ETF, ticker ZEB, which provides an efficient way for investors to get exposure to Canada's Big Six banks. Our experts also discussed whether technology stocks will continue their reign heading into 2024. The BMO Covered Call Technology ETF, ticker ZWT, invests in a diversified portfolio of North American tech and tech-related companies while earning call option premiums. For more information about the other ETFs discussed in this podcast, check out the episode notes, contact your regional BMO ETF specialist, or visit the ETF Center at BMOETFs.com. That's BMOETFS.com.
Views from the Desk has been brought to you by BMO Global Asset Management.
The viewpoints expressed by the portfolio managers represent their assessment of the markets at the time of publication. Those views are subject to change without notice at any time without any kind of notice. The information contained herein is not and should not be construed as investment, tax, or legal advice to any party. Investments should be evaluated relative to the individual's investment objectives, and professional advice should be obtained with respect to any circumstance. Any statement that necessarily depends on future events may be a forward-looking statement. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. Commissions, management fees, and expenses, if any, all may be associated with investments in exchange-traded funds. Please read the ETF facts or prospectus before investing. Exchange-traded funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. BMO Global Asset Management is a brand name under which BMO Asset Management, Inc. and BMO Investments, Inc. operate.